Matthew 14 and begins in verse 22. I thought of several titles. You know, we're in the title business these days since we're recording the messages and trying to put them online. And I came to a journey of faith, or taking a journey of faith. But I have to tell you, I weighed out several titles, several possible titles for this. One has to do with when Jesus says, "O thou of little faith," and the thought that kind of fits the message tonight is, I think I'd like to have a little faith. Even just a little. A little is good. And I started out with the idea, and it's still in the message, of faith that steps out. We need faith that steps out. And as a matter of fact, I was aiming in this direction before I knew I was going to be looking at Brother Ray tonight. But some of the thoughts in here really, and I don't know, I may avoid them because I tend to do that. If I know there's someone there that it fits pretty well, I tend to avoid them, so I hope I don't do that. But I'll tell you, stepping out by faith is no easy matter. Wednesday night we put a definition to faith. That's what we preached on, was what faith is. And then this morning in our message, of course, the Lord is moving me down this path of faith this month. And this morning we preached on a faith that saves. And in doing that, we demonstrated to you how the process of the ascension from belief to faith, how that works inside of us. And do y'all still remember how that is? Did we make it make sense to you? Some of you said yes. Some said what? What are you doing? Ascension of what? Well, I'm hoping that we're past needing to explain what faith is, and I want to just talk about applying some faith or living by faith. And that's the idea behind this message tonight, a journey of faith, stepping out in a journey of faith or on a journey of faith. This there are several things. I've debated about how to present this even. There's so many thoughts in this, and I don't think I'm going to get to all of them unless y'all mind. I mean, I think I can do it in an hour and a half. Okay, all right, I get it. No hour and a half. Okay, we won't do that. But listen to this. Verse number 22, it says, "And straightway," of course that word means just like the compound word sound. It means something immediate or right now, straight ahead, waste no time or space. "Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples." Constrain means to almost force or to compel or to urge strongly for someone to do something. I want you to notice in this verse, Jesus, there are four things here, or maybe people if you want to say that, or whatever, that Jesus himself has prepared for this journey the disciples are going to go on. First of all, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. I want you to know that he prepared his disciples and he prepared a ship. That's important. If you're planning on doing something for Jesus, to get the right ship. To get it right. And then, moving along, it says, "And to go before him unto the other side." To go before, I want you to know that Jesus provided, in this case, the water, but the path that they would travel. It was there, and it was, if you really spend time in these first two verses, 22 and 23, you'll see it seems that Christ had ordained all of this. It seems that way. And then it says to go before him unto the other side. I want you to know that he has prepared a destination. A destination for the journey of faith. And while you may think you know where that is, he is the only one that really knows what the destination is. And we'll see that tonight if, Lord willing, we get to it. Verse number 23 says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away," Well, excuse me, the latter part of the verse even says, while he sent the multitudes away. I want you to know that it's, the crowd is gone. He's prepared a setting where it's just him and you. You and him, however you'd say that. It's a private thing. Hey, the journey of faith is between you and Christ. It really doesn't involve the person next to you. Though they're on the way, they may have the same journey you do, but listen to me. This whole faith-building journey has to do with you and your walk with Christ. And it has more to do with Him than it does with us. Now it says, and when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, He was there alone. Did you notice that after He had set everything into motion, He disappeared from view? He's out of sight. If you ever take a single solitary step of faith, it won't be complete until He's just a little bit out of sight. Or else it wouldn't be faith. I mean, if it were easy to see where He is and what He has, and if it's easy to see Him in it, I always think of the children, the three Hebrew children in the flaming, fiery furnace when I think of this thought. Did you know, or have you ever noticed, and I know I've said it here, so I know most of you have at least heard this thought, but the Bible never really says that the three Hebrew children saw Jesus or the fourth man in the fire. It never really says that they saw Him there. The only one that saw Him there was the king of this world. These guys only trusted that He would see them through. Okay? All right, I'm just saying those things because I want you to know that if you're going to follow Christ by faith, there are those moments when you feel like you're absolutely alone. Just trying to build up the thought here. Let me go back and maybe introduce the setting to you. The disciples, according to, if you were to, you can cross-reference this passage with Luke chapter 9 and also Mark chapter 6. And in Luke chapter 9, you would learn that a couple of things that are not in this one, as a matter of fact, some of it is in Mark chapter 6 as well. Excuse me, but in Luke chapter 9, you'll learn that the disciples had just returned from this. You remember in Matthew chapter 10 and in Luke chapter 9, the disciples had been sent away to visit the lost sheep of Israel. They were to go from house to house and not be concerned for what they take to wear and to eat and all of this. Do you remember that? Does anybody remember that? All right. Just making sure you're conscious. I mean, we haven't even started yet, and I don't want to lose you this early. Praise the Lord. So they were just returning from that, and upon their return, according to Luke, they walked right upon the setting where Christ was. He was speaking with them privately. And they began to notice the multitudes gather and present themselves. They wanted Christ to do the healing He was so well known for and to minister to their needs. And so this became that event where He fed the 5,000, and it went all day long. Now the disciples had come to Him. No doubt they were weary returning from their journey, and He had pulled apart in some setting, and He was going to spend time with them. But now this thing, His compassion for the multitudes had drawn His attention, and they were all involved in this next ministry work. By the way, that's the way ministry is. Yeah, you're kidding me. I mean, you work three times a week, right? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, right? Yeah, I mean, you got Monday off. I mean, what more can you ask for? Hey, I've got to tell you, if somebody calls Monday, we're going to go. It's just a day I don't come to the office, right? I'm telling you, ministry is this way. If this is more than you would want, then you don't get into it. There is no clock to clock in, clock out. If someone calls in the middle of the night, bless our hearts, we're going to find a way to go minister if need be. That's the ministry. It's what we're here for. It's what we do. If we have a missionary in Guyana that calls us and says, you know, I need help, we're going to get up and do whatever needs to be done. Right? Amen. I mean, that's how it is. That's the ministry. And that's what the disciples ran into. And it doesn't say that they complained. I'm just saying they moved from this exhaustion and the setting of relaxing with the Savior right into the next thing. Ministered all day long on their feet, no doubt, ministering to this big crowd. And then up at the end of that, this is where Christ says, everything is done. They've fed everyone. Now He sends the people. Well, actually, He turns and sends the disciples off into the ship and sends the people away. So the disciples have been going for a long time. If nothing else, they've been on their feet all day long. And then the journey to get there, they're tired. Are you following? You're following the setting. So there, Christ has compelled them, constrained them. He has moved them to enter into the ship and to take this journey. Christ did this. And so they launch out, and to let you know, it says, verse number 24, but the ship... Well, let me back up. It says in verse 23, it says, when the evening was come, He was there alone. Now the evening, let me explain to you about the evening. The evening was considered to be from 6 till 9. There's another name for that time frame on the Jewish day. If you were somebody that had to tend sheep or something, you would understand the idea of first watch, second watch. First watch is from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Second watch is from 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. or 12 a.m. for us. And then 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. would be third watch. Are you following that? The quarters. And then the fourth watch would be 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. the next morning. So, looking at this, when this begins, is the evening time, sometime between 6 and 9. And in verse number 24, it says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed in the waves, and for the wind was contrary. Verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night. When the action starts, these guys have been fighting they came to the ship exhausted. Right? Are you following me? I'm gonna lay something out here. I have a missionary right here. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Most of the things that are big responsibilities that God lands on us in the ministry to do come when you're already tired. That's probably like everybody else, isn't it? I mean, I'm serious. Did you know that most responsibilities that come your way in life, you don't even choose? Right, young people, did you catch that? You can get used to that. Get used to it. Because most of the important responsibilities that come to us, we didn't choose nor want any part of. It's that way in the ministry too. The great ones, the big ones, the challenging ones, the ones that require faith. I've got to tell you, sending Ray and Kim to Guyana is big. But for me, it doesn't require a lot of faith. I know them. Right? I know their character. I know they're good. I mean, to me, it didn't... to you, it may take a lot of faith. You don't know them the way I do. What I'm saying is, the things that stretch us usually come when we're already stretched. You ever been stretched and stretched and stretched, and somebody else shows up with a new stretching machine, and you just, for Pete's sake, I'm big enough. Can you cease with the stretching? And God says, "Oh no, I need you to get in the ship. I have a ship for you. I've been preparing you." Preparing me. I'm exhausted. What do you mean preparing? No, that's what I'm saying. I've been conditioning you. My disciple. How you are now is the way you really are. When you're worn out and tired, when there's not much left, that's who you really are. And I've gotten you to this point. And you've gotten there in a good way. You've been ministering to people. Everything that you've been doing has been good. Now, I have this important... I have a ship for you. I need you to get in this. And I need you to sail out and go. You ever wonder what he was praying for? I have wondered so many times, was he praying for that storm to come? What if? I mean, why wouldn't he? Isn't it the storms of life that make us who we are? Because when we're weary and we get into the ship and we follow the commands of Christ, find our way out in the midst of the storm, that's when we learn what we know about seeking God. Anybody can seek God when you've been sleeping 8 hours a day and you come in and you've got a Bible in an office. Just, I mean, you guys provide me with this nice setting. I never had it that nice. I'm going to tell you, anybody can seek the Lord like that. It's when you've not been getting sleep at night because there's stuff been going on that you've had to tend to, and you've had to be there for people, and you've had to work with people. And then right in the middle of all of that, right in the middle of things going south, every time you make a choice, it just goes wrong. And in the midst of all of that, somebody calls you and there's a funeral. They forgot to call you, but you told them a long time ago if it happened, you'd be there for them. And it is at 1 o'clock today. And you just, okay, I will be there for you. And you do it. And then right after that, somebody in your family calls you, and you've got issues that have to be taken care of. Tired. What do you do with it? Hey, listen, that is the place where faith has to come in. Amen. I don't really need faith for the calm day when I'm sitting in the office looking at my Bible. I don't need faith for things I understand. I need faith when I've been up all day and all night, and then the Lord tells me to get in the ship, lo and behold, that ship goes right out into a storm. That's when I need faith. I need faith. That's why I say, I believe Christ has sent them on a journey of faith. Maybe He was praying for them to make it through. Who knows what He was praying for? I bet it was something to do with those disciples, though. And the reason I think that is because He loves them. Just like He loves you and me. Well, having introduced the setting, here we go. He says, read those two verses again. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship, to go before Him onto the other side." The other side. And in Mark chapter 6, it tells us Bethsaida was the destination. Have y'all ever, anybody here besides me study the maps? Anybody at all? So if I tell you where it is, you're not going to know a lick about it, right? Let me illustrate where Bethsaida was. He started near Capernaum. Okay, that's where the ship starts. Bethsaida is over here at Pine Hills. Okay? Ocoee is Capernaum. Bethsaida is Pine Hills. Except it's down the coast. Okay? And the coast, the upper part of the Sea of Galilee is really only about 7 or 8. The stretch where they were on, about 14 miles, but as a crow flies, 7 or 8. So, Pine Hills is Bethsaida. Here is the starting place at Capernaum. And did you ever notice that they didn't land where they aimed it? Gennesaret, just so you know, would be like Oakland. Okay? Gennesaret is Oakland. Ocoee is Capernaum, where they started. And Pine Hills over here is Bethsaida. Well, why is that important? It says when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountains apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. The ship was now in the midst. And now I'm going to get back to why that's important in just a minute. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. This is all practical stuff. But as far as being a Christian, when God launches you out, The responsibilities come, and every one of them is designed to have you look to the wisdom of God that He's given you and to trust it and apply it through the storm. Okay? So now they're moving through the storm, and the storm is getting harder and worse as it goes. These men have been fighting the storm all night long, from the first watch all the way through to the fourth watch, at least 7 or 8, maybe 9 hours. They've been fighting the storm in that little boat, just trying to survive. All of that is going on, and it says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Isn't that cool? Hey, listen to me. We do this. We struggle with the thing and we wrestle with it. We wrestle with the boat because the boat is all He gave us to work with. That's all we have. We have the boat and the people He put in the boat with us. That's it. All we have is what He said to do with the boat. He said to go to Bethsaida. The only thing is, I don't know where Bethsaida is. I'm just trying to keep the boat right side up. This is the story of many of us as we travel through the Christian life. I hope it's a story. Listen, when God puts us in a boat and launches us off, and things look, they look good and wonderful, and we get out there, we're doing what God said to do. It's wonderful. We're in that sea, that path that God has given us to go through. He's given us our assignment. He's given us a ship. He's given us something to do it with and to go forth and to do what He said to do. And we move forward. We get into it. Lo and behold, things get rough and we choose to hang on and be faithful. Thank God for people who choose to be faithful.
Amen.
We need faithful people. The only thing is, this storm didn't end after just a little bit. The storm just kept on coming. And it kept on being there. They're getting weak and weary. And as the night goes by, they continue to fight the storm and give it all they have. Because they have this boat. They had this ship that God gave them. And He said to go to Bethsaida. And all we know is, I've got to keep this thing going because it's what God told me to do.
Amen.
God ever give you something to do? Some people don't understand. But God gave it to me. Some people just don't understand. Even good, well-meaning, godly people don't understand. God gave me this mission, this work, this ship to live out, this ship to sail the sea with. He gave me this storm that's going to beat the ship up for sure, because it's just a little boat, really. Just big enough for the people that are in it. And all we can do to keep it sitting on the bottom side down and top side up. We don't even know if we're headed for Bethsaida anymore. We don't even know where it's at. We just know we're staying afloat.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, there are some things worth fighting for. Some things worth not letting go for. There are people who get discouraged and let go. There's no doubt there are people who get discouraged and let the ship sink. But we don't have to be those people. I promise you this much. God gives you a boat. He will give you the wherewithal to keep the thing floating. To go forward. Yeah, but I can't. I've lost. I can't even tell where I'm headed anymore. It's okay. Just keep it floating until He shows up with more direction.
Amen.
To tell you where to go from here. Jesus Himself walked out on the water. He wasn't fighting the storm. Man, He was walking on the storm. He was walking on the water. He was up above. I'm going to get trapped if I go up in there. He's running the thing. He walks out there and the storm is under Him. And he's making his way to the boat. And what I'm telling you with that, beloved, listen to what I'm saying. You may lose track of where you're headed. You may lose track of what to do with your mission, with your ship. But listen to me, if God gave you a ship, keep it floating until He shows up and tells you what to do.
Amen.
He will not let it go. The ship is more important to Him than it is to you. He gave it to you. Be faithful. Stick to it. Rise to the occasion. You got just enough strength to push that paddle a little bit more and keep that boat from tipping that little bit more. Listen, use that strength and push that paddle and keep the boat right-sided up till Jesus gets here to tell us what to do. That's my approach to the church. God launches us out on a path. Beloved, no matter what it takes, we're going to keep the thing floating because Jesus, even if it gets tough, listen, Jesus will show up. You can rest assured. Get down to Guyana. It's not going to be all peaches. It hasn't been so far. I mean, hadn't had one rose garden out of this whole thing, right? Been tough. Really, he's not shared the real hard stuff with everybody. They've gone through some hard things. And I'll tell you, every preacher that I know concerning the Bolts family, everyone that I talk to about these things, what they say is, thank God they're staying in the boat. Thank God they're not giving up. Well, that's the kind of people I want on my team. I love that. But we don't need Ray and Kim for that. We can make that choice all on our own. To live by faith. Take the journey of faith. To step out. I mean, Jesus, He constrained them. It's really urging irresistibly. It's almost like you don't have a choice. He put them in the boat. And He pushed. Push it out to sea. He said, get down yonder to take it and go to Bethsaida. Bethsaida, really? The storm is beating. You know, when you're really fighting it, the destination isn't even on your mind. It's not even on your mind. This whole thing, I was going to present it in stages or different applications of faith, but I think you're getting the point. It says, when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Can you imagine? I know me. Lord, I've been fighting this boat all night long. You're going to send a ghost out here? What, is He going to sink our ship or something? Really? I don't know what they thought. I know that the people that they were very superstitious. It would have been unusual for them not to think it was a ghost. But it says this. Hey, listen. This is what I'm listening for in the midst of a storm. And I hope you are let me ask you this. This is a personal question. I don't want anybody raising your hand and answering, but do you know the voice of God? The Bible says in John chapter 10, in one place it says, He knows your voice. And another place it says, you know His. It's a personal thing. When you pray, hey listen, when you pray, God listens to you pray. He knows your voice. When God speaks to you, there are several people that I've known over the years that have struggled with this. I don't think God speaks to me. Oh, yes. He speaks to me. I know He does. I hear His voice all the time. And I'm not even being silly. I'm just saying God speaks to me. He speaks to me. I hear His voice. The thing is it's personal and it's individual. How has He been leading you along since you've been saved? That same method, that same way, is going to be the way He leads you when you're in the midst of the storm. That voice will not change on you. You'll recognize. Did you know they recognized His voice when He spoke? He said, "Be of good cheer." Really? Be of good cheer? You know why that didn't sound like mockery to them? It's because they knew the voice. They knew the voice. This was the voice of somebody that loves them and could offer them hope. It's the voice of somebody that had hope for them. I don't know how I keep ending up down there. I look around and I'm down there and I have to come back. It says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." So you're out in your boat. You're doing that thing that God told you to do. You're making your way down life's sea, the path that He's prepared for you. Things are getting hard. They're beyond your ability to maintain. I'm going to suggest to you, one of the greatest things God is trying to teach us today in our day is how to depend upon Him. What He is trying to... The biggest thing in our Laodicean culture, our self-reliant day that we live in, the greatest need we have is to learn to depend upon Christ. Amen. And not upon a man. Greatest thing I heard Brother Ray say in all the talkings we've had is, you know, I'm just ready to do what Jesus said do. I'm telling you, that's all I want to do. I want to do what Jesus said to do. Listen, I want to follow the voice. I want to follow the one that says, "Be of good cheer." Hey, listen, in the midst of the storm, He shows up. He's in view and He calls out, "Be of good cheer." Okay, so we have Peter. Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou..." Would you have had the courage to do this? I think in every group of believers, there's somebody with the courage to do this. It's not always the pastor. Listen to what he says. "If it be Thou, bid me come." Wow. To walk on the water. You know what Peter's asking for? Peter says, you know, I know it's the boat. We're doing what God told us to do. But Lord, I want to do what You're doing. I want to walk on top of the storm. I want to rise above. I want to have authority based on the command of Christ to do. I want to rise above the storms of life that are challenging my existence. I want to maintain my ship, but would You let me walk above the storm? That's my thought tonight. Is to step out by faith. He's given us this ship. I love this ship.
Amen.
I do. Even when y'all aren't here, I come down here sometimes when I don't have to be here, and I just be here. I love this church. I love the people. I get out in the neighborhoods and I try to add people to it. I just love this church. But the ship, Peter wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satisfied just to be in the boat. He wanted to be above the storm. I heard a guy preaching one time and he called it arrogance. I don't see that. Because Jesus said, "Come He did it. He did it. Did you see that? He says, bid me come unto thee on the water. I'm tired of being in the water. I want to be on the water. Can you do that for me? I mean, how big is your God? How big is your God? So yeah, but Peter lost faith. Yeah, but he had some to lose. He had him some. He had some faith. Hey, listen, Jesus called it little faith. But the rest of them didn't even get credit for that. Now, I got to tell you, I believe it takes faith just to hang on to the ship. I really believe that. But I think there's some people that God just touches sometimes. And in their heart, it's just not okay to stay in the boat. And so he said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, see what he did? He walked on the water. That's something that couldn't be done. Are you listening to what I'm saying? In the midst of the storm, do you realize that in order to do something that could not be done by faith, he had to be exhausted. He had to fight the storm all night. And he had to get to the place that he couldn't go any further and then be terrified of what's coming. All of a sudden, he's in a position to ask Christ to give me more. I want to walk on the water. Listen, I believe this. I believe it takes working your way through the ship to get to walking on the water. I don't believe that you will ever find yourself walking on the water if you don't do time in the ship. I believe everybody here is capable of doing exactly what Peter did. Oh God. What's that guy went around talking about the prayer of Jabez? And everybody started praying that thing and God started blessing them. The only people that made fun of them was people who weren't getting blessed because they weren't praying. All I'm saying is if you got the hunger, the thirst to walk with God, there's more for you than the storm. He'll raise you up. Now, if Peter just stayed in the boat, I guarantee you he'd have been safe. He'd have been safe. But man, there's a human being that's able to say he walked on the water. He did something no one else has ever done. He did it by faith. Not only that, they've been telling that story for 2,000 years. All I'm saying is that because Peter wasn't satisfied with the boat, he didn't quit the boat. He rose above it. So yeah, but he lost faith. He lost faith. He, out of fear, he took his eyes off God. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Aren't you glad that we have a God that even when we get afraid in the midst of our faith, all we have to do is reach out, take hold of His hand, and He'll lift us right back up above the water. Above the water. Never been somebody like Jesus before. He died on the cross to make all of this possible. And by the time you get done walking on the water, you come out of the storm, Alfred, thanking God for the storm. The blessing. The blessing. How could I have ever learned how to rise above the boat in the water if I'd not gone through the storm? Oh, how we need the storm. What I love is that there's no doubt that the storm was carefully prepared for them. And so was the destination. And I'll be done. Not going to keep you long tonight. thought about it, but I'm not going to. The destination was clear. He had told them to go to Bethsaida. Now, we Baptists, we get our minds set on one thing, and that's all it can be. But did you ever see what happened when they got where they were going? And did you follow that? They went down there and they cast out devils and they healed people. And they had this great big kind of a camp meeting experience where they went. Jesus was in. It was Jesus that met them there, and they did that. I mean, he rode over there and finished the ride on the boat. He went there and had this big meeting. Clearly, it was where he intended to be. The only thing is he had told them to go to Bethsaida, but after the storm, they ended up in Gennesaret. Isn't that interesting? They started out going there. That's where they were told to go. But going there led them to the storm. And then the storm caught them and they fought the storm all night. And by the time the storm was done with them, they were ready to come over here to Gennesaret and do the things that they came back from their experience before saying, we couldn't cast out devils. Hey, listen. Sometimes he tells you to do this so that in the midst of things he can change it around and get you where you really need to be. Does that make sense? That's because he's in the storm. He's in the storm. The storm is just for me because when I enter into it, I'm headed over here. But when I come out of it, wherever He has for me, that's where I'll be. The storm. Hey, listen. All I'm talking about tonight is taking a journey of faith. No fancy outlines, no points. It's taking a journey of faith. I'm going to ask you tonight, has God ever told you, called you, led you, moved you to do something, to get in a boat and launch out? We'll ask our musicians to come. Go ahead and begin playing when you arrive at your instrument. I'm going to ask you tonight, what if God were to move you to do something for Him? To get out in a ship and begin to sail. So yeah, but if I get out in a ship, He might put me in a storm. Yeah, He probably will. Because I've got to tell you, the storm is what makes you ready for what He needs you to do. You can't do it without the storm. I had a guy tell me that. I've shared our experience in Plant City with you before. I had a guy tell me, he's writing a book, in one of those chapters of the books, he says he believes that God uses these storms. He proofs people. He prepares them through the storm. I believe it's a Bible principle. We need the storms. But we have faith to get us through. Let's stand to our feet. I'm not going to have one of those close everybody's eyes invitations tonight. I'm just going to invite you to come. Has God spoken to your heart about anything tonight? Why not just step out into the aisle and make your way down to this old-fashioned altar? Just make your way down and let God make use of you tonight. Listen, God is in the calling business. Simple message. Simple message. Easy to understand. Easy to apply. Maybe God wants to use you by faith. He has this boat, a special boat, a special journey, a special path, and a destination that's all for you. Many have come to the altar already. Listen, it's open. Maybe you, maybe God has something for you. It won't be open all night. Time will come when it's over. The Lord's dealing with you tonight. Don't let it pass. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. Lord, we thank You so much for Your mercy, for Your grace. Lord, we need Your blessing on what we're doing. We love You, God, and we ask You to bless us. Help us, Lord, to lean upon You. And help us, Lord, to be dependent on You. Help us to realize our need, to get the right perspective of who God is in our lives. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to see that which is ours to do. Help us to see the storm that belongs to us and embrace it, Lord, just to allow You to work in us. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to see the blessing in it. Help us, Lord, to follow You. Lord, we need You tonight. We need You to lead us. Give us godly wisdom. Help us make right choices. Pray for the many that came to the altar tonight that You would help them, Lord, to make right choices. Lord, that people would follow You. Lord, that we could trust You and walk with You even closer than we do before. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Now, heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. I just felt like God was working, and I just had to let it close. Maybe God is speaking to your heart tonight. Just a moment longer, we'll leave the altar open. I guess at this time, I'll go ahead and invite. We know that many of us know we voted this morning that the Bolts are going to planning on joining the church. We invite you to come on down and do that, brother. It seems silly to cast out a blanket invitation when we know that, but the offer is there. If you're here tonight and you're looking for a church home, we'd love to have you join our church. You can come too. Listen, are you glad you're in God's house tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Me too. I want to say I appreciate that the things are happening the way they are. I appreciate that the Bolts are coming to us tonight. We're so confident that they want to join our church. We filled out a card ahead of time, and we are thankful for them. Let me ask you this: how many of y'all are thankful that we have this family with us tonight?
Amen.
Let's go ahead and take a vote. Let's go ahead and say, I'll put them before you. Listen, I'll put before you the Ray and Kim Bolts family to be members of our church. If you'd accept them into our church, let it be known by hearty amen.
Amen.
Aren't all opposed by the same? Won that. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you guys just to come on down front. And I'll get Angie to stand with you. So they don't scare you too bad, and appreciate you being here. So we love the Bolts. Appreciate them being with us. I'm very, very excited about all this. Let's go ahead and we'll go ahead and pray to be dismissed, and then we'll let the ladies play. And I don't know how to get everything done here. Why don't we start a line over here and we'll come this way. Just come down this way and come this way. I want you to take time and welcome them into the church and let them know you appreciate them being here. And then hang around and fellowship with as long as you can afterwards. I'd like for you to get to know them as much as possible. They are on the road. They're missionaries raising support. So they're going to be in another meeting by the time we come back to church again. So please, we'll pray and be dismissed. And then we'll just come down this way and make a line and we'll welcome them into the church. Okay? Brother Alfred, would you go ahead and dismiss us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you today, Lord. Thanks for the Bolts here joining our church, Lord. Thank you for being our missionaries, Lord. Father, let them grow in grace and strength, Lord, as they go through their job and in the ministry, Father. Bless our church. Bring us back the next appointed time. We're just going to pray. Amen.
Amen.